Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Imagine that. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you. Those are the young adults in our church who have those imagining big things with God. Hey, officially, I want to welcome everybody again to church this morning. If this is your first time, you are at the best place possible, I believe. Our slogan here is no perfect people allowed. We like to think that we gather here every Sunday, not because we think we're better than you, but in fact, we gather here every Sunday because we know we are in need of God's grace and forgiveness. And we already got that 2,000 years ago through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. And we want to proclaim that message of grace and forgiveness to everybody. So welcome. I want to welcome also our YouTube viewers and podcast listeners. Thanks for joining in. Hey, like I said before, the month of March is a very special month for us. And right now, you are in for a treat because we're not going to have just one speaker today or two speakers today. We're going to have three speakers coming up in a few minutes to come and speak to us. I gave them each 1 hour, so we're going to be here until about 3 o'clock, so it's going to be great. Nah, I gave them all 10 minutes each, so it's going to be fantastic though. For those of you who are new to our church, you might not know the spaces that we have provided in this place. What you are in right now is just one of those spaces. The Sunday gathering is just one of the spaces. But we do have kids' ministry happening every Sunday. We have youth ministry, Ignite Youth, happening every Friday. And we have young adults that meet together every Wednesday at this place. And the reason why we created all these different spaces is because we created them for people like you. We created them with the purpose that people who do not know God, people who are far from God, can get to know Him and enjoy a relationship with Him. So in a few minutes, we're going to listen from Ati Ardian. She is our volunteer team member. She is our children ministry director. She herself is a volunteer, and she's heading over 60 other volunteers in our church in order to serve your children. And then we have Chloe Chong, our youth pastor. She has been with our youth group since she was 13 years old. And that's amazing to see one of your own grew up in faith and become now our youth pastor. And we have John Atkinson, also one of our own, came all the way from Canada, but 2-3 years ago, became a member of our church and was so moved by the mission and vision of our church, he decided to stay here in Perth and serve together with us at this place. So you're going to be hearing from all three of them. But for now, let us welcome Miss Ati Ardian.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Daniel, for an awesome introduction. So my name is Ati, as Pastor Daniel already said. And I better put this down first before I dropped it. I am the director of the children ministry. And today, I got the privilege to be able to talk not to small children, but to big kids. I call you big kids. And today, I'll be able to tell you why I'm passionate about the children ministry. It's not just me, actually. It's me and another 62 other kids leaders. So today, before I start anything else, being a Kingdom Builders Month, I would like to thank you for those who has participated in the past. And today, I would like to tell you the stories, or the winning stories, that we do with your generosity last year. So, when you talk about children ministry, normally you think about children, children, children. We're more than that. We are all about families. In everything that we do, we think about family. Now, because do you know why we do that? Because when we believe that when families win, children will definitely win. And when children win, their school, when they're spent 8 hours a day waking up, it's going to win. And when the schools win, the community is going to win. Now, again, I was saying to you at the front that I'm going to tell you stories about the winning family stories. And I have plenty of them, but today I picked two. And being a Bible storyteller with kids, I always give my stories a title. So the first one that I want to talk about, I give a title of the morning battle story. So you, all of you that have families, somehow, somewhat knows this type of picture. Mine doesn't look like that, doesn't have any chicken and a potty, but it looks somewhere like that. Now, I was talking to this one mother during the pickup time, and she was telling me that before she attended the Rocks, her Sunday morning looks like that, right? She got two kids, two boys. You know, boys who have boys can probably relate. And every morning they have to get up, wake up, get your shoes on, get your shirt on, and everything else that goes along with it. Go in the car. Now, this happened with this lady. So this mom just telling me how horrible it was. And since she started attending the Rocks, and the kids start attending the Rocks, kids, she said she noticed the difference right away. In the morning, she doesn't have to tell the kids to get up and get ready. Doesn't have to nag, as your moms would do. So her morning just changed. She can come to church with a happy heart, not with a losing her head type of thing. And she can actually enjoy the sermon and receive God messages with a very peaceful heart. And the kids enjoy it at the Rocks Kids too. So that's my first story. The second story, I'll call it Dragged by the Kids story. That's that little girl over there dragging her parents. This story is about a single mom. She has two kids. And, you know, being a single mom, I'm a mom with two kids and I got a husband. It's really hard. Sometimes it's hard. Let alone being a single mom. You can only imagine her struggle. Now, by God's grace, she was an unchurch person before. By God's grace, she actually came to the Rocks. And the kids attending the Rocks Kids, of course. And some weeks, she doesn't feel like coming because life just a bit too tough, too hard for her. So, but you know what? The kids love the Rocks Kids so much, that's probably what they did to the mom. They dragged the mom to come. Mom, let's go. We need to go. We love to come. So when mom actually came, keep on coming. Keep on coming, keep on coming. And then the icing on the cake is the mom is actually going to get baptized and declare that Jesus is her Savior. So there you go. The Rocks Kids is not just about the children. The children are important, but we all about families. All right. Now, those are some amazing stories. So being in the Rocks Kids, which is, if you don't know where it is on the other side of this foyer, this environment, this space, all right? And I would like to tell you, what do we do over there to make these amazing stories happen? I'm going to give you, I'm going to just let you know four of our secrets, the Rocks Kids secret. This is what we do. We provide spaces where they can make friends. And you probably know, friends are important for kids. That's probably their world. They know nothing else other than friends. And as you probably don't know, that being with good friends brings good influence. Being with bad friends brings bad influence. So we're creating the space where they can make this friendship, the good friendship, I can call it. Now, we also do fun activities that basically teach them how to apply their Bible knowledge into their everyday life. Because being an adult, the Bible application is so much different than being a kid and what is applicable to their life. Now, the fourth thing that we do is the third thing that we do is we show them real hugs. And as you probably know, if you're in my team, I'm a hugger. I really am a hugger, so just be careful if you see me. I'm going to come and hug you. Now, with the kids, that's what we do too. We probably not really like hug everybody, all kids. When they get turned a bit bigger, they go like, don't touch me. You know, I'm too cool to be hugged. But, you know, like as kids, that's how they can learn that they are cared for. You hug them. If they cry, if they're upset, we hug them. We give them an assurance that they are loved. And they are cared for. So that's what we do. When they get a bit older, We listen to their story, we listen to their problems, and we talk and play with them. Number four, we actually show them when, as they reach their flashpoint age, which is our biggest class in the Rocks Kids, we show them that they are a part of a church community. We encourage them to serve and to think beyond themselves. And they serve sometimes as a just play with the younger kids, or they become a worship leader, or they become technology savvy people that do those stuff that I don't do. Now, but the thing is, the key for it is we do all those four things every week constantly, Sunday after Sunday. Now, every week there's about 15 to 18 kids leaders that are ready to welcome any kids that walk through that little small door on the other side, to care for them, to love them, to listen to the stories again, and to pray for them. Now, children ministry is very different with adult gathering like this. If you missed today's session, you can listen in podcasts, in YouTube. That's good, by the way, you can do that. But for the kids ministry, it's a chance missed, because those kids will miss a real hug and a real connection, which is really important in their life stage. Now, I would like to quote the late Pastor Billy Graham. He said, "Children who experience love find it easier to believe that God loves them." Isn't that true? They can only believe what they see. You know, faith, we don't, you know, like you believe of what you don't see. But for these kids, it's easier for them to believe something that they see. So coming to the Rocks Kids, give them an opportunity to be able to see the display of God's love from other people other than immediate family. So they know that it's not just my family loves God. Oh, these other people that loves me and loves God, and God loves me. So that's basically practically the equation that we do. Now, we understand that kids don't come every week the following week because they love learning the book of Nehemiah. Whatever that is, I don't even know. I'm kidding. So they don't come just because they love the stories. They come because of the connection that they make with their friends and with their kids' leader. Now, in 10 years' time, as I said, they won't remember. They probably won't remember all of our lesson that we have. But they will remember how much they are loved by us. Now, last week, Sid told me to imagine. And when I imagine, might as well imagine big, right? So this is what I imagine where our church and the Rocks is going to be. I imagine there are more families in our community coming to hear about Jesus. I imagine having a leaders that the kids can trust and talk to, especially when time is hard, especially when they get bullied, especially when the parents have problem, especially when their parents get divorced. Those are the leaders that I want to imagine to have in the future. I imagine that there are special classes for special needs children. There are lots of kids that do not learn the normal, you know, listening way and then following the normal procedure. I would like to be able to have a space for those children. All right, so that's what I imagine. And at the end, I imagine seeing 100 or 1,000 of children being baptized and being saved. Maybe not in when they are at the Rocks Kids, but maybe at the Ignite or young adult. But we love to plant those seeds of God's love in their life. All right. It is a big dream, I know. But, you know, our God is able. And together, me and you can make it happen. Now, I will leave you with this thought. In 5 years, don't imagine about 10 years, 5 years, how do you imagine the future family is going to look like? How do you imagine future generation children's going to look like? Is it going to be more of these amazing stories that I mentioned to you, or going to be mentioned a bit later on, or less? Is it more of the kids being on a drugs and problem, or less? Now, being in the Kingdom Builders give us the opportunity to impact the future, to impact families in the future, children, schools, and community. Now, so here's the most important question of the day. Are you going to take this opportunity to be part of that, of impacting the future, or are you going to miss it? A simple question, and I'll leave it up to you. And thank you very much for the opportunity to be able to speak to you. And I would like to invite Chloe, the gorgeous Chloe, to come up front and speak to you more about Ignite.
Thank you so much, Ati. Great job. Good morning, everyone. It is such an honor to speak to all of you this morning. You know, when Pastor D suggested that I speak to all of you about Ignite, our high school ministry at The Rocks, surprisingly, I felt encouraged to say yes. And I use the word surprisingly because if you knew me personally, you know that it has taken me many years to be able to say yes to speaking in front of a crowd like this. But I've been so encouraged by my leaders, by my friends, and by Pastor D in particular. And that's why I am so excited for this opportunity to speak about something that is close to my heart. You know, there were two prominent reasons why I said yes to speaking this morning. The first is that Pastor D very graciously reminded me that speaking is a part of my job description here at The Rocks. So really, I can't say no. But the second is that when I think about it, speaking about something that you love with your heart should come very naturally. And it does for me when it comes to Ignite. So before I talk about Ignite's vision for Cannington, I want to take a short moment to thank those of you who have invested in Kingdom Builders in the last 10 years or more. You see, it was because of you that I spent my teenage years at Ignite growing in an authentic community where I met and fell in love with Jesus. I would hate to think about what my teenage years could have looked like if it weren't for Ignite or for the leaders who guided me with so much grace, so much love, and so much patience. I also want to let you know that your investment 10, 9, or 5 years ago has borne much fruit. You might be surprised to know that these kids that you invested in are now leading the Ignite ministry. You know, we have 15 passionate leaders who serve our kids in a wholehearted, loving, and sacrificial way. But out of those 15 leaders, I grew up in Ignite with 9 of them. That is a huge percentage. You can ask any of them at any time why they decided to serve at Ignite, and they will tell you that growing up in Ignite changed the course of their life forever, and that they want to be a part of what God is doing in this generation. So from the bottom of not only my heart, but of the hearts of my leaders, we want to say thank you. Thank you for investing in us, for believing in us, and for creating a space where we could come together and explore Jesus in a life-changing, meaningful way. You know, someone very wise once told me that the most important number is 0. At Ignite, we are always thinking about the number 0, and we imagine a great city like Cannington where we will finally see the number 0. The questions we ask ourselves as an Ignite team and ministry regarding our effectiveness in the community are questions like these. Are there 0 teenagers involved in theft, in drugs, and in alcohol abuse in this community? Are there 0 teenagers out on the street questioning if anyone loves them? And are there 0 teenagers confused about their identity or the reason that they're put on this earth? Because you know what? In this month of March, we are talking about Imagine. And to be honest, this is something that we imagine daily. In fact, not only do we imagine it, but we lose sleep over it. We are constantly thinking of ways to get to 0, not only in Cannington, but beyond. Ignite is a community that openly welcomes those who have been involved with theft, with drugs, or alcohol abuse in their past. And our hearts hurt for those who don't know that God loves them so much that He sent His one and only Son to die for them. So although 0 might sound impossible, today we proclaim in faith that all things are possible with God. And like Sid said last week, the God that we serve is the God of immeasurably more. We see God working in Cannington, and Ignite wants to be a part of what He is doing. I just want to share 2 of our many winning stories. The first person I'd love to introduce to you is Ashton. So we love Ashton. Ashton started coming to Ignite last year, and honestly, we thank God for him. You know, Ashton posted this on his Instagram page in December of last year. And honestly, my leaders and I, we cried for like a good week. I'd love to share it with you. It says, I would just like to thank Ignite for helping me through this year. No matter how broken I have gotten, your community here have been there to help. I don't know where I would be without all the awesome people here. It's great fun attending every Friday night. It is just awesome to be where I am now, and I have to thank you guys for that. Do you know when I first met Ashton, Ashton was so quiet, he was so shy, and he felt quite uncomfortable when we used to sing songs before Ignite started. But now, Ashton beams with this undeniable confidence because he knows his identity in Christ. And now, during worship, Ashton and the boys have started sort of this tradition at Ignite where they gather each other and they put their arms around each other's necks and just support each other during worship, a bit like this photo. You know, I remember just a couple of weeks ago, we had a boy come to Ignite for his very first time. And like Ashton, he looked a little bit confused and we started to sing. But, you know, I was watching him from behind and I felt so uncomfortable for him. But then two of our Ignite boys, they came to him. They put their arms around him and asked him, do you want to join us in worship? I can still see the smile and look of relief on his face. It was like he just realized that he didn't have to go through this awkward, uncomfortable stage of being the new kid. And that's when I realized that our kids, they get it. They know how to love the outsider. They know how to love the person who is feeling awkward, who is feeling uncomfortable. You know, sometimes I think that we're teaching these kids, but in actual fact, they're teaching us about what it means to follow Jesus and to love people genuinely, authentically. The last person I'd like to speak to you about is Albert. Woo! Albert has been with us for 2 years and still can't tell the difference between my sister Paige and I. Even after this photo was taken, he said, thanks, see ya, Paige. It hurt, it really hurts. But nevertheless, we love Albert so much. You know, Albert is the kindest person I have ever met, and he is only 17. So he's amazing. Actually, because of Albert, Albert's entire family comes to this church. And his 6 younger siblings and cousins love the Rocks kids. So great job, Ati. You're doing an amazing job. Yeah. You know, Albert is someone who is very influential. So influential that, in fact, one day he was in a park and he saw 3 guys around his age. So he decided, you know what? Today is the day I'm going to share about the love of Jesus with these guys. And so they started having a conversation and obviously, they had lots of questions for Albert, but Albert remembered that on that Friday at Ignite, I would be speaking about grace, and he wanted these 3 boys to know that God's grace is sufficient for them. So true enough, those 3 boys came, and surprisingly, they didn't stick to each other like glue. They were like spread out, playing basketball with our kids, playing ping pong with our kids. It was so good to see. But on the end of the night, I put the invitation out there that God's grace is for anyone and is there for you to take it. And praise God, on that night, we had 4 teenagers raise their hand to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It was so good. Now, you're familiar with this sort of moments. Usually the atmosphere and the lighting is dark, so we can never really see who raises their hands. We can just see, like, hands, right? So I know that even it's a huge possibility that it could be any one of those 3 boys that Albert invited. But even if it wasn't, I know that the seed has been sown and God is faithful in doing what only He can do. The reason I shared these 2 stories was because it highlighted what Ignite is all about. Genuine community, meaningful friendships, and the burning desire to share the love of Jesus with everyone around them. I'm going to say it again. These kids, they get it, church. And Kingdom Builders is an awesome way to invest in this generation and also in our future leaders, our future pastors, mothers, fathers, doctors, nurses, carers, politicians. Because who knows, maybe in 5 years, it won't be me speaking to you on this stage. Maybe it'll be Albert. Maybe it'll be Ashton, Malika, or Kusar. And they will be thanking you for investing in them, for believing in them, and for creating a space where they could experience Jesus in a life-changing way while they were just teenagers. Thank you so much, everyone. It is my pleasure to introduce the next speaker, a very popular and handsome John Atkinson.
Awkward shuffle dance to kick off. Thank you so much, Chloe, and Pastor Daniel for that amazing introduction earlier. It is such a privilege to be able to be up here and talk to you about young adults, but just so proud of Chloe and Atia as well, who are just doing fantastic stuff in the different spaces and youth and the kids as well. And I am a beneficiary of some of the work that has been doing in this Rocks outside of the Sunday environments as well. Just like Pastor Daniel has said, I started coming to the Rocks and to young adults and fell in love with it. And that's one of the main reasons why I'm still able to be here today to be able to speak to you about young adults and my passion and my burning passion for this ministry and for this group. So if it wasn't for the investment that you all placed in this past few years in Kingdom Builders, I wouldn't be actually standing here today. I'd be back in Canada in the freezing cold. So thank you very much. So what I'm going to do this morning with the short time that I have is that I'm going to share some of the winning stories that have happened in young adults in this past year and a half, and also a little bit of the vision that I have moving forward and what I believe that Jesus and God will be doing in this space. And I think it's so valuable to be able to look back, because sometimes that's when we really get to see the hand of God moving. And sometimes that's really when we get to see the answers to the prayers that we have been praying. And, you know, sometimes when we're in the moment, it's quite hard to actually see how God is working. But hindsight is 20/20. So I'm going to kind of jump into a couple stories that I believe are just of life change and of what the Rocks YA is all about. So I'm super excited to be sharing that with you all this morning. So I guess young adults officially started 14 years ago when a group of young adults, young international students, got together with a passion and the desire to start a new church. And that church is now called The Rocks today. So to me, that's an incredible story of what young people can do when they're equipped with the same values and the same mission and the vision given by God to start something incredible. And I think it's so powerful to see when young people do unite and come together and they can move in powerful ways and change the world. And so this reminds me of a verse in 1 Timothy, and it goes something like this: don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And I love it because it says set an example. We are called as young people to lead by example, and that is what we are called to do. And it's possible to do when we all come together under a common vision and a common goal. But for me, where it started, where my influence and where my leadership kind of started in the Rocks YA is about a year and a half ago in August 2016. And this is kind of when I came on staff for the very first time. And I was given a very clear vision from God to create an authentic community that was just so passionate about reaching the lost. I had a vision that we would fill this room, this auditorium, wall to wall with young adults who would be preaching and praising the name of Jesus from every nation and every tongue. And I was so excited to bear this vision and to bear this and come into fruition in this place. And this is a year and a half ago, and this is when I first kind of got into this position. I'll say it, I was a bit naive and I was a bit young. I maybe didn't know 100% what I was doing, so we just jumped right into it, and we had our very first YA gathering in this auditorium, and it was right in this space here, and we had probably about 23 people fill out this nice space right here. And at this moment, this is when I realized what it meant to receive a vision from God. At that moment, I realized what it meant to receive a vision from God. We weren't ready to be there yet. We weren't ready to fill this auditorium wall to wall with young adults who are just praising the name of Jesus. But I knew that God was going to be there in every step of the way. I knew that God was going to provide for us in every way that we need to get to that place. But we needed to take those steps in order to get there. So behind me, you see, 1 month later, we had our first gathering in the kids area. So this is just back one slide in the August 2016. And we had our very first gathering in this small space. We thought, if we can be trusted with this small space, back one slide. I'm getting excited. So back in August 2016, we were so excited that if we can fill out this space, then we know that God could, and clearly you know God did, because we could see see the September 2016 one. But this is 4 weeks later, God provided in such powerful ways, and he brought young adults into this place, and we packed out the kids' area. So in September 2016, we had our very first YA gathering in the foyer. And this was a very, very exciting time for us as a young adults community. So we can go to the next slide. There we go. So we had our very first gathering here in the foyer. And so this was super exciting for us. And it was clear to me and it was clear to everyone that God was moving and God had his hand in this ministry. You know, and to me it was fascinating because we could see people from all across the world coming into the Rocks of A. We had people from Germany, we had people from Brazil, we had people from Kenya, we had people from America, we had people from Korea, and people from, of course, Australia. And this is 6 of the 7 continents around the world, people coming into the Rocks of A. If you know anyone from Antarctica, I would love to have the whole set, but I realize that may or may not be possible. But it was fascinating to me to see, and so inspiring for me to see that the people coming in reflected the original international students that first started the Rocks and that were the founding fathers of this place. And to me, that was incredible to see how God was working as well. And I love that international students come here because for me, when international students come, they come without family, just like myself. They came without friends. And so a lot of these people had never heard of Jesus before. And so for us, it was a great chance to not just impact the city of Canning, but impact the world globally. There's people who have come to the Rocks of A who are back now into their home countries proclaiming a newfound faith they have in Jesus Christ, and they're impacting the communities that they're in now. They're impacting their families, they're impacting their workplace, and they're impacting the universities and their hobbies and whatever they're doing, not just here, but also around the world, which is so, so amazing. And that is the Big C church that is at the core of the Rocks of A. We are Jesus's church. It's not just about Wednesday nights. It's not just about Sundays here. We are all about making disciples and spreading the good news around the world. And so that's what I do. And sometimes, you know, the fruit of our lives don't have our name necessarily associated to them, but to me that's the amazing thing that happens when you have a Big C church mindset. I want to share another winning story as well that we received during the feedback and during the forums. And so I'll just read it. It's going to be on the screen behind me as well. So before coming to the Rocks, I never found a church family that welcomed me with open arms. When I went to YA for the first time, I was surprised at how friendly and how welcoming they were. I am grateful to now call them and this church my family. And through these new relationships, my relationship with God and my love for him has strengthened. This is just a couple of the many winning stories that happened in the Rocks of AA. You know, this year alone, we have had 9 people who have raised their hand for either first time or recommitment to Jesus Christ. And that is absolutely fantastic. And this is just the beginning of the year. And, you know, when God's at work in a place and where people are hungry for more, the miraculous happens. And that's exactly what happened in September 2017 last year. We finally made our way into the Rocks Auditorium. The next step in the vision that I received from God came into fruition. And I'm not saying that we filled this place wall to wall, but is it the next step that we are taking in order to get to that point? And I have faith that one day that we will fill this place wall to wall with young adults who just love Jesus, and from every nation and every tongue will be praising the name of God. And I'm so, so excited for that. So I guess the question to ask is, what's next? So what's going to be happening in the next 12 months, and what's going to be happening in 2019 and 2018 this year? And I want to share a little bit about what I have faith for, and I want to share a little bit to you with what I have a vision for and how the young adults can impact this place as well. So I have a few numbers that I have kind of prayed over, and I've talked to God a little bit about, and I want to share them with you this morning. So the very first one is attendance. So currently we have about 64 young adults who attend on average to our YA gatherings, which is already more than twice than we started with at the very original 1.5 years ago. But I have faith that in 12 months' time, we will have 200 young people coming into this space, praising the name of Jesus. Amazing. Currently, we have 4 small groups, and this is twice than we originally started with, but I have faith that in 12 months' time, we will have 12 small groups that will be meeting all around the city of Canning, all around the city of Perth, that are just learning and loving together in the name of Jesus. We've currently had 5 baptisms since the beginning of YA, but I have faith that in 12 months' time, we will have 20 baptisms in this place. I currently have 7 fantastic on-fire leaders. The YA leaders are my family, and currently we have 7 of them, but I have faith that in 12 months' time, we will have 25 on-fire, amazing YA leaders who are not afraid to take risks, that will be leaders not just in this place, but also leaders in their family, in their community, whatever hobbies they have, in their schools and the universities. These leaders are people who are the bearers of Jesus wherever they go, that they aren't afraid to do what's to sacrifice what's called from them, to do more, going above and beyond what I could ever do on my own. This is what can happen when Jesus is at the center of what you do. Nothing is impossible. You might be looking at these numbers here on the right of the 2019 column, and you might be looking up at me being like, oh, you're a bit crazy, actually. You're crazy, John. Like, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to be calling out in faith these numbers? And I'm going to answer that question with a question. Who do you think God is? Who is your God? And I have faith that when God is at the middle, when God has the center of the vision of this ministry, that nothing is impossible. If you truly believe and you buy into what God can do, he can do the immeasurably more. You know, we don't just say that God is the God of immeasurably more. We truly believe it here, especially in the Rocks and the Rocks YA. And so I'm super excited for this next 12 months as well. And this is why I do what I do. You know, for me, the vision to be the church that unchurched people love to attend is too important not to be a part of. I will not sit on the sidelines. I need to get my skin in the game because I understand the value. I've seen the life change, and I'm going to continue to see the life change of young adults coming into this space who experience God's love in their lives, and their lives are changed in radical ways. And I can't wait to see these numbers come into reality, and I just am so excited to see how God is going to move in this place. This is why I'm here. This is why I stayed in Australia. You know, I could have gone back to Canada, to my comfort zone, but I saw something different in this place. I saw something different happening in the Rocks. I saw something different happening in the Rocks YA, and I want to be a part of it. And actually, I need to be a part of it because I understand and I see it how God is working. And that's why I personally give to Kingdom Builders, because I have benefited from the investment of the people coming before me when my life has changed, and I can't not be a part of the investment of the life of the changes of people's life change moving forward. To finish off, I just want to share a quick story of one of my YA leaders who has come in to the Rocks and experienced this exact life change that we're talking about. And her testimony encompasses exactly what the Rocks YA is all about. I'm sure a few of you have maybe met her before. She serves in the connection desk in the new guest lounge, and she has a very contagious, loud laugh. And she is an amazing, amazing person. Her name is Annika, and she has an amazing... Some people know you, Annika. And I've actually had the privilege of baptizing her last year at YA camp. And so I'm super excited to finish off with her story. So take a look at the screens.
Hi, my name is Annika Lim, and I've been coming to the Rocks for a year and a half. I was born and brought up on Christmas Island as a Buddhist, but through missionaries who visited the island, my family and I were converted to Christianity. However, at this point, I did not truly understand what this meant for my life. During my early university days, while working as a retail assistant, I began stealing money for my own greed. I had no purpose in stealing it, but I remember feeling so hopeless because my compulsion to steal was greater than my ability to restrain myself. My managers were aware of till discrepancies and asked me about it. I denied stealing the money out of fear. However, I felt unsettled and had a deep desire to turn myself in. That very same day, I found myself driving to the police station to plead my guilt. I was aware that they had no proof of me stealing, but this was the moment God took control of my life. In the 9 months it took to sentence me, I spiraled into depression. I was terrified of people finding out about what I've done, that I told no one about what I was going through, including my own family. I dropped out of university, distanced myself from family and friends, and contemplated suicide. I was so consumed with what people thought of me and saving face that I had prepared to end my life the night before my sentencing. At this point, I was so hopeless that I turned to the Bible as my last resort. It was during this time that I realized that my acceptance by God is not based on what I do. The grace of God alone through Jesus Christ is enough for me. I truly felt that I was no longer bound by my once gripping fear. I was sentenced to 12 months in prison. I remember sitting in the van which took me to prison, feeling so peaceful and singing praises and worship to God because I finally felt free from the burden of sin. The power of Jesus' grace was not fully seen until my weaknesses were fully acknowledged. The moment I was overwhelmed with my absolute helplessness was the moment I was ready to hear Jesus say, "I'm all the grace you need. I am no longer a slave to sin because God has forgiven me through Jesus' death on the cross." Throughout my incarceration, I could feel His presence in a place so hopeless. God's hand was continually over me, as within the first week in prison, I was transferred from maximum security to minimum and granted parole in February 2016. It was during my parole that I started coming to the Rocks. No perfect people allowed left such a lasting impression on me. I was invited to Young Adults. I was hesitant at first, but it quickly became a community I wanted to be a part of, as people accepted me for who I was and not what I've done. I struggled because I thought people would judge me for my past, but going to YA helped me to grow spiritually and accept myself the way God has accepted me. Through the support of my YA family, I decided to get baptized at YA camp last year to publicly declare my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I am now set free from the hold that stealing had over my life. This bondage to sin is no longer, and God has rebuilt, restored, and renewed me. I know that Jesus died on the cross to set me free from my chains. No matter what I face, Jesus is always the answer. I want to thank my Young Adults community for creating a space where I can be who I am and the leaders for supporting me through prayer and encouragement. I also want to thank Pastor John Atkinson for his continuous spiritual guidance and leadership in my life, and also The Rocks for being a church that I can call home.
Wow, wow. Annika, that was such an amazing testimony. Amazing. We are blessed with so many good communicators in our church. I should be preaching less and less here, which is fantastic. Wow. Before I let you go, thank you for just taking the time to listen to what these guys have to say. But my final encouragement to you is this. This coming Sunday, on the 18th of March, we're going to come together as a church family. And we call it Vision Giving Sunday, where all of us will contribute whatever God has laid in our hearts to give. Even if you cannot give at this point, I want you to still come this Sunday. Bring the card that is on your seat. And if you have to put zero for now, put zero for now. And then write, by faith, as God provides, I will commit to give to this church. Our unity is so much more important than the amount that we can give. But this year as a church, we have set a target to receive or to give together as a church family $1,530,000. We're going to start building a mezzanine very soon because we need more rooms and classes for the kids. We need to continue to service our loan so that we can continue to gather here, and also our ministry expenses that allow those spaces that you just heard to happen, because the vision that God has given us need to be funded. You know what? The leaders in our church are amazing. They not only serve and give of their time and talent, but they also have decided this week we gather together as staff and volunteer team members. We make a pre-commitment before all of you in order to encourage you that we put our money where our mouth is. This is important to us. This is so critical to us that we not only serve by giving our time, but we want to commit our money as well. So we receive already about 50 to 60 cards, and the monthly commitment that we receive per year is 164,400 and one-time commitment of 151,000. So from about 50, 60 people, some of your volunteers and leaders in this church, we have already been receiving commitments to receive $315,600. So can we thank them, our leaders and volunteers in this church? And there will be more of those cards to come. Maybe you're wondering, like, wow, $1.5 million, that's a lot of money to run a ministry. Shouldn't my money be best spent in India or in China or in Africa, where maybe my 50 bucks will go a long way? How many of you remember the story of this young lady by the name of A.B. Sunderland? In 2010, that's 8 years ago, as a 16-year-old girl, she set out to break the world record to be the youngest person sailing around the world. But she failed in her attempt, and she had to be rescued. She was lost somewhere in the Indian Ocean, and they sent a search and rescue team to search for her. They even chartered Qantas A330, Qantas Airbus A330 to search for her. And in the end, thank God that we found her 4,000 kilometers west of Perth. You know the cost of finding her? $300,000 to save just one person. $300,000. You know how much it costs to save one soul in this world? It costs the blood of Jesus Christ to save one soul. So if it takes God, on average, let's say, I'm exaggerating the amount, let's say it takes God on average $500,000 to save one person in Perth, do you think God will not spend that kind of money? Definitely He will. He gave His Son to die for us. What is it that He won't give us? So we believe in this vision so much, and we want you to believe in it as well. We want you to take part, and together we hear more stories like what we heard today.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.